Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm talking about some not so common sex news, including virtual reality porn, because sex tech is the future. I'm also taking your calls. Topics include, so you know how to orgasm, but you really want to get there quicker. What do you do? Performance anxiety. You want to just be able to rise to the occasion every time. I get it. I can help you. You got talked into a threesome situation that didn't go well, and now you flinch at the sound of it. How do you recover? All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily. You got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. It's a robust site. It is very robust. Going to help you have even better sex and relationships. Amazing posts up there that will change your life. You can also find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We love when you comment, when you subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen. Also, find me on Sirius XM Radio. I'm on Stars Channel 109, which is so much fun, Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 Pacific, 8 to 10 East. And you can get a free 30-day trial. Visit sexwithemily.com/SXM. Or hey, you can still call in 888-947-8277. Always find us on social media everywhere across the board. It's at Sex with Emily. All right, guys, hope you enjoy. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I am pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Enjoy the show. All right, James, do you want to share this with me?
Yes. All right. We're getting into some weird stories here. Some of them I just think are pretty interesting. So first one that I came across, that men, and also primates, with showy hair tend to have smaller testicles. So now beards are the new beamers.
Wait a minute. How do you define showy hair? Like, I thought you meant like a big head of hair.
Yeah, a big, it's like showy facial hair. So okay. Like
showy facial hair.
So like beards and like the long locks may also be a sign of small balls.
How is that true?
What? Is that real? What, I mean, okay. Oh, well, New York Post, primates. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but it's not, okay. So I was thinking it's like they have a great pompadour. Is that a haircut?
It could be.
Like, I thought you meant that, but you mean like the ones who have like the...
Like the, because I mean, you know how like beards are kind of in,
yes,
right now.
So you're saying that there's something, but men who have smaller testicles have some like biological urge to show it more.
It says here.
Tell me.
Yeah, it says, okay, so hair is considered like an ornament.
True.
Which is an outward display of masculinity, and testes are considered a weapon. A way to actually sexually compete with other males in the species by reproduction. So it says found that humans, as well as large primates, physically lack the energy to have both a large ball sack and bushy facial hair at the same time.
Amazing. So can men with big balls, are they not able to grow as, can they not, or is it a choice?
You know what?
Like, can they not grow showy hair as easily because their balls are bigger? They're like, are those the guys who are like, I don't know, I just can't grow a beard?
So, you know what's so funny? I remember one time when I was in, can you hear me? Is that good? Okay. When I was in middle school, I think my best friend at the time, her mom told me that men with no hair or bald men have higher testosterone levels. I don't know how true that is, but this article just reminded me
of that.
Well,
are they saying that they have small, were they talking about their testosterone, you know, if they have smaller, because we're not saying you have small penises.
Right.
No, small balls, which to me, I mean, like, nowadays, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really care about penis size that much, but I also definitely don't care about the size of your balls.
But if you have larger testicles, you have more sperm.
Hmm. Which, I mean, maybe like...
Someone emailed us. I think on our ball show, I said there's semen inside of the...
Oh, yeah, instead of sperm.
I was like, oh, okay, sperm. Sorry. I'm a doctor. I do know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so that could be it. Like, it's a side of masculinity in the outside. So it's like peacocking almost.
Yeah, because they need to still, like, you know, they need to still attract people. Even
it's
if they have less sperm.
Jay.
So it's
this
kind
isn't
of like
even weird. This is fascinating to me. I'm fascinated now.
Yeah, let's say like a little out of the ordinary. Of,
yeah.
As far as what we,
but also it's like I mean it shows that I love all the studies of like evolutionary biology and like our primates and mm-hmm. how like the reason why we do certain things in our brains, why we have certain desires, are going back to our, you know, our monkey ancestors. So I think it's interesting.
Yeah, and I love how this article leaves it off with a quote from Leupold, which was the Stefan Leupold, who's an evolutionary biologist at the University of Zurich. It's hard to have it all. Big testicles come with large weapons, but less ornamentation. So it's like, cool, dude.
Yeah,
like,
I just think that's like exactly. It is hard. You cannot have it all.
Yeah.
And what you don't have is a thing that you need to, that's your lesson while you're here in life. Like, you have to always, you really can't have it all. You just would be, no one, life is not perfect. You have to have some area that you're working on. Your deficit, if you will.
So when I start going out on dates and having more casual sex, I'm going to keep this in mind now. Just curiosity. I'm just going
to
look.
Yes, Jamie, you have to.
I'm going to look for science.
Yeah, for science. Be like, oh, okay, he's got the flavor saver or whatever they have now. Those long sideburns.
The flavor saver.
Do you also do the flavor saver?
I thought they were called beard, it's mutton chop.
The flavor saver is the little thing under your chin.
Like the triangle little thing?
No. There's
Soul patch.
Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. No.
Flavor saver. I've never heard that.
I like that way better.
I love that so much more.
Love when I can bring things to the table here.
Flavor saver.
It's amazing. Yeah.
You like left a little piece of something.
Yeah, exactly. A little flavor saver. What's that thing? And you probably shouldn't have that anyway. 888-947-8277.
Okay,
that was good.
Next story.
I approve.
Next story.
I approve of this message. Yes.
So, dolphin clitorises look a lot like a human's. So dolphin clitorises are incredibly similar to those of humans. They completed autopsies on 11 dolphins that had died of natural causes. And they found that the female dolphin's clitoris are remarkably similar to human woman's.
Wow. In what way?
It says just like a human female, the dolphin has a clitoral hood and two areas of extensive erectile tissue that merge into a single body. So they also have the legs.
Wow. This is so interesting. So,
and it says
it engorges and swells just like humans when they're aroused. Mm-hmm.
And
no wonder why dolphins seem so happy.
Dolphins mm-hmm. have sex for fun. They also continue to sex.
Yes! Yes! Mm-hmm. This is so interesting. Mm-hmm. It's located. Okay, the dolphin. She gives me the article. So this is our process here. Dolphin clitoris is located at the entrance of the vaginal opening rather than externally. They're well known. They are known for their sex lives. They are happy creatures. They're famous for playing for both teams. Interesting.
And you want to this one is also very interesting because it says penis and vagina must co-evolve. So it says while it may seem intuitive that the penis fits well into the vagina during copulation, it can be quite complex and they haven't really explored. I mean, how are you really going to explore whales and dolphins and porpoises?
Right.
But it says they have unusual vaginal folds, spirals, and recesses that the penis and sperm must navigate through to successfully fertilize the egg.
Wow. Spirals.
Yeah. I got to jump through a lot of hoops, literally.
Uh-huh.
Dolphins are jumping through hoops,
and not
too.
That this is part of this actual article, but there have been studies done. I actually convinced my friend. I sent them an article to do a speech back in college on dolphin gang rape, because dolphins, they did a study, like dolphins can get aggressive.
Yeah.
And they put like these like inflatable sex dolls or whatever randomly in the ocean, and dolphins would come up and like take them down to these caves and like have sex with them.
Inflatable sex dolls?
Yeah.
It's the clitorises.
It's the
clitoris. They're just like, I need something to
It's the male dolphins. But.
Oh, the male dolphins were aggressive. Yeah. I did not know. Really?
Yeah.
They were gang raping blow up dolphins?
No, blow up humans.
Oh, they were blow up. They didn't use dolphins?
There's plenty of videos of dolphins like trying to like, you have to. He got an A on his speech, by the way.
But didn't you say something? You said you knew about the spiral penis.
Yeah, the spiral penis. It grabs you and pulls you down into the cave.
That's scary.
So be wary of dolphins, but also at the same time, they're just very similar.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
So not about people, but I did think it was, you know, it's cool. We're not the only people that have
folds and spirals and recesses. I mean, we have that too. If women understand, vulva owners, that it's actually not that easy for us to receive pleasure, that it takes a lot. You got to do jump through hoops and spirals and folds and things to figure out our pleasure. So women just looked like that's how we were, like they made it complicated so we could teach our partners that don't just go right for my opening. I know it looks like it's easy to get in there, but not so easy for you to penetrate me until you pay a visit to Master Mistress Clitoris right mm-hmm. here. Like, pay homage, stop mm-hmm. along the way, say hello to my friends the breasts on the left and the right, Mr. Mrs. 1 and 2. Like, it is trickier, but we didn't know that because we didn't get the instruction manual to our body, so now they think they just penetrate, but we've got all these spirals and hoops that the penises should be jumping through. Mm-hmm. And you get to choose. They're actually there. We just let them go right in. Mm-hmm. And I think encourage them to stop along the way and check in the scenery, you know, stop and smell the flowers.
Also in this article,
yes,
which of course, most previous research on genitalia has focused on the penis. So even with dolphins, more focus on the penis than the female sexual organs.
Yeah, it's true. Well, most research, that's what we talked about with Jolene Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
We just released an awesome podcast today with Dr. Jolene Brighton. Her book is Beyond the Pill. And we talked about that really the reason why there's all this great information coming out now about the birth control pill and women and hormones is because a lot of the sexual scientific research in the last 50 years has all had to do with the penis and men. They're like, well, men and women, they're similar. They're not similar at all in many of these ways, especially when it comes to sex. So that makes sense. And so now female dolphins are getting their turn, just like all the other women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like all the other females on the planet. Dolphins should get their clitorises heavily researched as well.
Cool. Interesting.
Good clitoracy. I liked it.
Okay, cool. Glad. All right, this next one. And this is just outrageous. Sex for the unmarried is now officially legal in Utah as of Wednesday. So unmarried Utahns can officially have sex without breaking the law.
Wow.
So, although it does say here that the law was not really pursued by police or prosecuted, technically, breaking the law was punishable to up to 6 months in jail and a fine of $1,000. So, this might have been, like, an old law.
Oh, I'm sure it's
they
been.
They never... But the fact that it's like it just now, they're like, oh, maybe we should make this legal.
I didn't even know that. I mean, that's just so interesting. I mean, I've had sex in Utah. Like, who? I've never been married. You, everyone. I mean, I know there are some strange bills like this. Other, you know, you can't have sex toys in certain, you know, cities. Sodomy is still legal in some states, but sex outside of marriage. I mean, that just seems that's crazy. It's really interesting to me because. It modifies criminal offenses, so is it still an offense?
No, these are just like...
Fornication used to be Class B misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm. In the Beehive State, which I also...
That sounds awful. I mean, I love Utah. It's beautiful, but Beehive.
It's weird.
Just gets anxious.
Yeah.
What if there's a beehive?
I just thought this, by bee? I thought this was crazy.
That is crazy
it
to
is
me.
It is wild.
I mean, I think there is something, or we've talked about this, like what laws... People wouldn't believe what is still legal in other states as well right now. Like, you can't states that you live in, like bringing sex toys in or, you know, anal sex, or there's a lot of things that are still not legal. So, yes, I do find this interesting. And I'm glad that Utah is stepping up. I wonder if it has to do with religion there. Mormon religion, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, that's good to know. And so then, everyone must be just, you know, having sex all over that state this weekend.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah.
And then... According to recent studies, hence bringing up religion, religious people, according to a survey, actually have quite expensive taste in porn.
Really? Expensive taste in porn? They're paying for it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay. So, wonder the religious people expensive taste. How do you measure expensive taste in porn? Because most people are getting porn for free. Does this mean that they're paying for sites?
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just seeing, they're watching fancy ladies have sex. Like, what does it mean?
I think it means that they're paying for it.
Okay.
And it says here that, like, we sort of expected to find that the very religious are secretly kinky.
But we did in some of that fantasy book, Justin Lehmiller's book, yeah.
And it says that was not necessarily the case, so they are different in how they relate to porn. And it says here, let's see... Yeah, it says very religious respondents were 44% more likely to watch pricey virtual reality porn and 40% likelier to tip live cam girls.
Oh, so they good manners.
I mean, good manners, yeah.
I don't know, that's awesome. Particularly they tend to view bisexual and transgender porn as no-nos. I could see that, though 10% who identify as heterosexuals and religious nevertheless get off a male-male. Ah, that's interesting. What do they say?
It says religious, it says very religious porn fans are twice as likely to pony up $1,000 or more for viewings of real life girls and their godless brethren.
Mm. I wonder why that, I'm trying to think of why they would spend more money on it, because they perhaps somehow think it's more
of a secure.
Private and secure.
I think it's probably because they think it's more secure.
Yeah.
More.
Stems from like them, it's a sin maybe, so they want it to be more private and secure and like more official.
But then it's like tracked in your credit card, and then one day your wife opens up the bill and says, what's cam girls gone wild, you know, cam girls.
And that's the thing too, it says that they're like doing the virtual reality porn and the cam girl stuff, so it's more involved than just watching like a free clip on Pornhub. Because they're probably
getting their, well, this is it, they're not getting their needs met in their sex life. They don't see a way to actually turn towards their partner and say, you know what, I know our religion is against this, or I know we haven't ever talked about sex before, but I think that might not be serving us anymore. I'd really love to work on our sex life. I know we've been together 20 years, but hey, maybe we could try some of these things, and you know, I won't tell God if you won't. But I don't think that anybody feels that they could actually do it. So they figure, and they're probably craving something other than what their religious beliefs have told them were appropriate. So as a result, they're like, if I'm going to go outside of it and get it, I got to get it, because I haven't been getting any of my needs met because of my religion, perhaps, or my more conservative beliefs around sex.
Hmm. That could be it.
Yeah. What do you all think? What do you think about? I don't know. I think virtual reality porn I mean, you have to bring out the contractions that too. You got to buy the device and the set. And cam girl porn, people are spending a lot of money on it too.
Have you tried virtual reality porn?
I have.
Did you like it? How did it go?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it was really cool. I was in Amsterdam and I went to visit Kiru, which is a company that's working with a bunch of different, and they're actually working with WeVibe and Fleshlight, and they're one of the first companies, and they are developing, it's like teledildonics. Teledildonics.
I love that word.
And it's such a good word, but it's true. And it's like why these vibrators, you can actually behold. We actually have like an old Kiru here, like one of the first models of it. But essentially what happened was, so I was in this room with all these men, of course, and they're like, put this on. And I put on the VR headset. And then I had a vibrator in my hand, right? So that was like one of their vibrators. It had like a remotes on it, so it's like I put it at me like it's my penis, right? But I have this, so I have this set. I mean, I have my clothes on. I have the virtual reality set, and you put it on, and it looks like, I mean, there's a whole scene. It looks like I'm like in some Grecian village, and there's like all these like nymphs. And, I mean, it's humans, but they're all just in white, like a white party, like a fancy white party, like the Playboy Mansion party of Greece. If I was in Greece, and everyone's beautiful and walking around, and then like they're like look around, and I look all around. And there's like people, like beautiful people, and some people are having sex. It's kind of like an orgy sex party, but classy. Sophisticated, maybe that's what these people are. It was
fun.
A classy sex party. And then since I had the teledildonics part of it, I have this toy, right? So pretend it's my penis, then the porn stars that are as their film, like they are connected to my toy, and they could be using an insertion toy like the rave or something, that they're also, so they can feel like they can feel what I'm feeling. If I'm putting inside of me, for example, like they are feeling, I'm going fast. This is not going to make sense, but they're also moving. It's like you're having sex with the virtual reality people.
That's insane.
It feels like you're actually in a full on like sex party. They're touching you. I mean, I've just done the virtual reality porn without the vibrators, because that's their whole thing, is that they're now programming porn that works with toys. So you're having an interactive experience with the person on the camera. I mean, there's just so much going on with it. But just regular old virtual reality porn, you're like lying there and you're looking like if someone's looking at you, like these two porn stars, like a threesome, right? I'm having a threesome with, let's say, a guy and a girl. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like they're like on top of me and you're having sex with them. It's very reality. Like,
oh,
I could see.
Gosh.
I could see getting caught down that.
I mean, that sounds...
intense.
Yeah, it sounds intense, but I'm super down.
Oh, yeah. We have to try it.
Gotta try
Send us some virtual reality porn, people. I'm sure we could... I think they'd reach out to us.
But
that kind of thing.
But like,
and it was hot. Like, if I wasn't in a room with all these people, like, I could probably have gotten into it and been like, okay.
Right, that must have been weird. Like, all these...
They're like, how do you like our technology?
Yeah.
How do you like our technology?
Like, they're just watching
like,
you.
Like, sex with them. He's in our room in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was fun. I mean, so it was just like a 5-minute, 10-minute thing. But
do you think that, like, if someone was in a relationship, though, like a monogamous relationship, is that getting close to the line of
that
cheating?
That is such a good question, because we've gotten asked those questions. Is virtual reality porn cheating? And I don't think it's cheating, but I do think it's a, when I'm, my whole thing is like, it's a lot of energy. It's a lot of like, it is that next level masturbation, that what we talk about of having to raise the bar, having to raise the stimuli each time you have sex, so you get more and more turned on, and people are having impacts of watching a lot of porn on their partner. They're like, oh, I can't get up anymore because there aren't like webcam girls. So that's my concern, is that you're having this full on virtual reality experience rather than just looking at a clip on your phone. It could be harder and harder for you to connect with humans. Do I think it's cheating, though? I mean, my ex did it. I wasn't like think he was cheating. I thought it was cool. I wanted to hear about it. But that's, you know, I think that if you're spending a lot of time in virtual reality porn, that all that time and you're in a relationship, you could be spending more of that energy enhancing the sex that you're having.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, on to your calls.
Let's talk to Joni, 38, in Kentucky. She says it takes her a long time to come, and she wants to learn how to finish faster.
All right. Hey, Joni.
Hi, Emily. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Of course.
And, girl, thank you for doing what you do. We are all so grateful for your knowledge.
You're welcome. I love it. Thank you. Thank you.
So I know this is going to sound like a funny question, but... I've always known this about me, like since I've been sexually active, I just take a long time to come. And actually, I'm a queer woman, and this is actually my first relationship in 11 years with a cisgendered male.
Oh, okay.
And I do enjoy... Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do enjoy the sex, but he mentioned that I've actually been the most challenging and taking the longest to come, I guess, woman he's been with. And I don't know, it just makes me... That just kind of... He wasn't really complaining, but it just still made me feel a little self-conscious.
Of course, yeah. Well, first of all, okay, so how were you in the past with the women you were with? Would you come easier?
It was just different.
Different, because there was no penis, right? I mean, what is he... Is he going down on you? Is he... And how, wait, for back up, how long is it taking you?
You know, that's a good question. Well, I'm working on him going down on me.
Oh. Well, that's another reason you're not coming. Most women need that, require that for orgasm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're working on that.
Okay.
And, you know, that's a good question. I just know I have come. It just takes me a long time.
Like an hour, like 25 minutes.
Yeah, definitely maybe like a good 20, 25.
40 minutes. I mean, the women take between 20 and 40 minutes to orgasm. I need a billboard that says that. Just PSA.
Yeah.
Because we all feel so bad. We're taking too long. Like, who's to say too long? The other women he's with, a lot of them might have been faking it as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is he measuring it against? And he's not going down on you, so he needs some more education around women. Okay.
Yeah, he is going down. He just he's just not used to having to take a while to be down there.
Right. Right.
We're working on that.
Okay.
I guess just like other things, it just takes me a long time. I don't know if there's a way I can.
Well,
I don't know. Speed up that process.
Well, I guess it helps. I mean, the thing is, wait. Did you feel this way when you were with women that you had to speed it up?
Yeah. I felt like I took a long time.
Okay. So do you know when you get the most aroused and like what turned you on? Like it's like a lot of other like kissing and touching and like, yeah, playing with your nipples, you know, your body, like he's using his fingers and his mouth. Maybe he's talking dirty. Maybe you're using some toys. You're switching it up. You're massaging, you're prolonging the sex, but you're teasing, you know, like I think that that's what it takes for a lot of women. And maybe you could let him know that. You could explain to him that you would love to just kind of slow things down a little bit. And I don't know, you know best what turns you on, but typically it's like stimulation gradually over time, teasing, lighter touch, the oral thing. You can teach.
Yes.
So, like playing with your nipples, making out. For women, it's like kissing, fingers, and mouth. That's what makes us come, like oral. Those are the three ways that women are more likely to orgasm. And so,
sure, that makes sense.
Yeah,
so that's more foreplay.
Yeah, honestly, it is. And like I always say, foreplay is not a suggestion; it's a requirement. I have that written in my office, hanging on the wall, because it is. It's we have like these quotes here, and it's like people think, "Oh, the foreplay thing again? Really? Oh, yeah, I guess I could do it. It'd be nice, you know, if it's your birthday." No, we need it. Women are slow cookers. Men are frying pans. They're ready to go. We need to be warmed up. We just do. It's scientific. It's how our bodies work. That's what you need. Let him know.
All right.
And you're doing fine.
Thank you for making me not feel crazy.
Okay, good. Oh, my God. It's my job. Here. I'm here to help you make you so crazy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joni. Thanks for calling.
All right. Let's talk to Steve, who's 40 in New York and wants to ask about his performance anxiety.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How's it going with you?
Some days better than others.
I hear you, man. What's going on?
It's an ongoing thing, it's been pretty much as long as I can remember.
Okay, and performance anxiety?
Yes.
Coming too quickly, coming before you want to.
No, more like not rising to the occasion.
Oh, okay, so you get erect, so more like you can't, it's harder for it to stay hard and get hard.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever gotten have you ever gotten checked out for it? Like, has it been, first of all, has it been like since your 40s? So since the beginning of your sexual history?
No, it's more just like I can't get out of my own head.
Yeah. Okay. So have you ever practiced any like mindfulness, like any breathing, any meditation? It's really like most of us have this in different ways in our life, that we're in our own heads. And so you really, it's about, you know, breathing and being present with your partner and meditation. Download one of the apps. Like, I love the Headspace app or the Insight Timer app. They're great for meditation and learning to control your mind, because that's likely what it is. And then being with a partner who's like, understands, who's cool with it, and who you can connect with and breathe together and relax into it. So I think it's like more of a lifestyle practice. And you're, you could go to your doctor, you could get checked out, you're 40. I mean, but you say it's been happening for a while.
I've been with my partner for 12 years now, and like, it comes and goes.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. If that you've been with your partner, that's amazing.
She's great about it, but...
What if you guys practiced together getting into your senses? Like, you did something where you did like an erotic night of like erotic massage, where you lit some massage candles. It smelled amazing. And then you practiced touching each other so you could focus on the scent of the candle and like the touch of her on your body. You guys could explain it to each other. Like, I'm feeling your touch right now and I'm smelling the candle and you're playing your favorite music. And maybe you're tasting each other's lips or tasting a flavored lube, and you kind of get all your senses going. Because when we completely, like, when we get our senses involved in sex, we can't be in our head, because then we're completely present, if that makes sense to you as a concept.
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
So I think that you got to, if she's a great partner and it's been 12 years, I think you already trying on your own. Like, I could tell you to be mindful and tell you to meditate. And I know how hard that is. I've been meditating for 20 years, and some days it's a struggle. It's just, it's a practice. So if you want to bring your wife on board with it, that might also kind of alleviate some of it, because you might not even be realizing all the pressure you've been putting on yourself. I don't want to disappoint her, even though she's cool with it. So if you guys are in it together and trying to figure out, you know, how to breathe, how to connect, that might help you. Okay?
All right.
All right, Steve. Bring her on board. You got to work on it together.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, so welcome. You're so welcome, Steve.
So we got Arlene from Alabama back on the phone.
Arlene in Alabama. Hi, Arlene.
Hey.
Welcome back.
I love your show, Emily. Thank you for having me on the line. I'm sorry I got cut off earlier.
That's okay. I could tell. We need to talk. We need to talk.
Yes, we definitely need to talk. I was in a marriage for several years and had beautiful children and a great life, and a husband that could not stop using chewing tobacco. It was disgusting. And I'm a very touchy-feely kind of emotional, sexual person. And so we had conversations about this, and I couldn't get him to improve his hygiene. And finally it got to the point where it was such a turn-off.
Yeah.
And we ended up having years of no nothing. And so the conversations earlier about how do you spark it up in the marriage, and how do you – there's some times when there comes a point where there's no sparking that back up. If there can't be a if there can't be some respect for one another.
Yeah, some compromise.
There's a point where you have to say, I've got to cut these ties. So anyway, I got out of that relationship finally, and I'm thinking, well, there's something terribly wrong with me. I left feeling that way. But I've done the bioidentical hormones, and I've done everything to keep myself in shape. And, you know, and I thought, well, maybe I'm not attractive. And I apparently was to many other people, but just, there was something there where my husband was masturbating constantly, watching porn, exactly what you were just talking about earlier on the show, to the point where there was nothing going on when we got in the bedroom.
Right.
So anyway, I'm so thankful that I finally decided it was time to move from that relationship, because I was wasting my life.
Yeah.
And I got into a wonderful relationship, which is very free and open, and we're both very, very exploratory and very touchy-feely, and things have been wonderful. And so he talked me into this threesome idea, which I was not keen on because I'm so in love with him and I didn't want to share. And so he talked me into a male threesome. Two male.
Oh, you did it already. Okay. Male.
Yes. Several times.
Oh, okay.
So that happened, and it was okay. It was okay. I didn't mind. It was actually pretty good a couple of times, particularly
just
this one partner I felt very comfortable with.
Okay.
But then time went on where it became
where he was having these random men contact me, and I felt very like, wait a minute, I'm not your prostitute.
Oh, like a cuckold? Like, was it more like a cuckolding thing? Like, did he want to watch you with another man, or he wanted you to have sex with another man and tell him about it?
No. He wanted to be present.
Oh, be present. Okay.
You know, it was a big turn on to him to watch and to be present. So, anyway, the last time that we were with someone, I had a little bit of a health scare following that. And sitting in the gynecologist's office was a wake-up call to me, because there was a question mark there about if I had some type of virus.
Oh, STD
and
or something.
Luckily, that turned out to be not what we thought it was, but it shake me up.
Yeah.
And not knowing there for a few days, I thought, oh my goodness, have I gone all these years to only have this happen to me,
right,
to finally find this wonderful happiness and to be this careless to allow this to happen to me. And so now every time he brings it up, I've just completely shut down, because I do not want to go back there, at least not right now. And if we do, it's going to have to be with a very clear guidelines.
Yes. Well, I see. So he said some random people, you said. So you're not wanting the threesome anymore because of the health scare, because you thought you had an STD or something, a sexually transmitted disease,
yes,
and you didn't.
Yes.
So are you using protection with these people, with condoms?
No.
Okay. So that's, you got, you know, so if you still want to do it, you have to find people who, people can even show you their results. You know, there are ways to show people's test results to make sure they're clean, but you should always use a condom with everyone. And no one does. I mean, Arlene, literally, it's STD Awareness Month. And so we're going to be talking more about this, because people just aren't using condoms anymore. So you're not, but if there's, especially if there's more than one person, yeah, you have to. I mean, not with your husband, I'm sure, but yeah, that's the thing. So is the kind of thing, though, is this becoming a problem? Is your question like, what do you do? Because you kind of want to, but you're afraid, or your husband's upset?
Exactly.
Okay.
And he's really pressuring me to do this again. Didn't you like that? Well, I want us to do that again. And I said, no, I guess I should have taken you with me to the doctor's office, because I cried.
Yeah, of course you did.
That. And I was so upset,
right,
that something that could be life-threatening to me, that would be a virus in my body for the rest of my life, it's nice to have a little fun and a roll in the hay,
honey, you need to take it off.
You got to stop and think.
Right. So how long ago did this happen, this scare?
It was about 2 months ago.
Okay, 2 months, yeah. I mean, can't he... So... How's your sex otherwise? Because I feel like maybe you just need to take it off the table for a while.
It's still really good, but it's not the fireworks that it was, because I think I'm still reserved and still shaky.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And I need him to support you emotionally in some way, if he can figure out a way to kind of... The more he just kind of learns to support you right now, and you guys can figure out what else you guys could do together, and how you could feel safe again with him, and he can kind of bring you out of your... It sounds like you've been living like his fantasies, and I'm wondering if opening up now, Arlene, if there's any fantasies that you have right now that he could kind of please you in some ways, that there's things that you want that don't involve another person, because maybe he'll find something new. You didn't know you'd be into being with two men, so what might he not know? He just needs to be entertained in another way with you, because... Unless he's fetishized this threesome thing, I'm not sure about that. But I kind of, I really need you to kind of reframe. I don't like the pressure. I want you to take as much time as you need. I don't think that you should have another threesome right now. I think you need to turn your attention, both of you, towards making the sex life great between the two of you. Because there's not always going to be a third anyway. So this is important work you have to do, and every couple has to do.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I think I just needed you to. To reaffirm that.
Yes,
for me.
Arlene, I'm with you. Please go back and have that conversation. And you know I'm here every night. Let me know how that goes. And hopefully you're going to get through to him. I get that he wants that, but you know, create something else beautiful together. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. And thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.